Good to be home, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes. Amen. It's good to be among God's people. So proud of Northview again. Thank you for all the work that you guys did this past week. And I know Miss Shirley appreciates it. And I love Northview because no matter what the challenge is, Northview always comes to the challenge. You're always up for it. And it's noticed. Believe me, it's noticed. Not just in our realm here, but other realms. And I'm glad and thank God for what He is doing at Northview in His people. I want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. First one, we're going to look in Romans chapter 12. So if you want to turn there with me, and then we're going to go to the prodigal son story there in the book of Luke chapter 15. Just got some highlights that I want to share with you this morning. As you know, we're celebrating the time, as I've been thinking about Easter and been thinking about all that our Savior went through during this time, my mind always goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we don't have to turn there because you're very familiar with the story, but we see how human He really was. You know, we recognize that He was God, but yet He was 100% man, 100% God, and we can't understand all that in our mind, but when He faced things on this earth, He faced them as human because He wanted to know how we feel. And I'm so glad that we have a God that knows how we feel. But I think about it a lot, the agony that He went through in that garden to the point that His body was convulsion and blood was beginning to drip and He was anguishing. And I think about all the pressure that was on Him to turn, to give up, not to do, because the enemy knew that he was lost this battle. If he went with what he was planning on doing, he would be sunk. And he would be eternally defeated. But we know that Jesus knelt down in that garden and He prayed and He came to that point where He said, "Lord, this is not about me, it's about You. Your will be done." And I thought about that as I began to read these scriptures that I'm going to read to you today, because when do things actually begin to change? I want to talk about that just a minute. When do things actually begin to change? When did the enemy know that he was defeated? Now, we always go back to the, you know, we go to the tomb and all that, but I want to say that it was before that, because when he knew that Christ had made his mind up, when he made that statement, "Not my will, but yours," things begin to change. And as you study there, things begin to happen quickly and things, you know, accelerated quite a bit. But in our lives, when do things actually begin to change? It's when we make our mind up. And I want to talk about the mind a little bit this morning. You know, we talk about your heart in it, that kind of thing. You've heard those terminologies, and I know you've heard the terminology. We need to get your head straight. You need to get your head into it. In other words, we need to focus. And when I think about the great opportunity that God has given us here at Northview, and this is a great church, you, because of you people. And I think about all that is set before us and all that God wants us to do. How many of you know that He's got work for us to do until He takes us home? But in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish, the pressures are going to come, the circumstances are going to come, the winds are going to blow, but when your mind's made up, you become successful. And so I said, "Lord, you got to, you know, things sometimes start with me and a thought, and then I start digging it out." But here's where I was led to. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, and we're very familiar with this too. But sometimes we're guilty of being familiar with Scripture and just kind of rush over it. And it begins here, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God," chapter 12, verse 1, "by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." As we've said many, many times, that every one of you make a difference. Whether you realize it or not, you already make a difference. You already contribute because your life is gifted. Every one of you had distinct gifts. And what does the enemy try to do? Play with our minds. Where you're not, you don't look like this one, or you don't act like that one, or you don't have the talent of this one. That's irrelevant. Because when God made you, He gave you a set of fingerprints that's different to anybody else in the world. And along with that is uniqueness that nobody can be you. And nobody being you means that you are special, specially equipped to do what you do. Turn to your woman beside you and say, you are specially equipped. Yeah. Amen. Some of you, it's kind of hard to get out, but it's the truth. You're specially equipped. So he's talking about here, present your bodies. Bringing your body into subjection of what God has created you for, because you're here for a purpose, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship, or some translations say reasonable service. But here's the part that says, by saying that, by putting that accolade on our life right there, then he says, understand. You see, Jesus knew who he was. Even though there were everybody in the world trying to say he's just a carpenter's son, or he's that, it didn't matter. It was irrelevant. He knew who he was. He knew he had the gift in him, because God wouldn't have put him here if he couldn't have done the job. But yet he had all this confusion coming against him. But here's the difference right here. Here's the difference. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now we know conforming, and when you begin to break that word conforming down, it means to add pressure. How many of you have ever been in situations where you were trying to be pressured into something? Tried to make a decision, or tried to be, and you know in your heart that wasn't you, but somebody was trying to put that pressure on. So what he's saying here is understand who you are, and then recognize, be not conformed to the world. And look what the next part is. This is the critical part, but to be transformed. Be transformed. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. Now, if it says renewing of your mind, that means that I have to add to that daily. Paul said, I have to die daily. You know, Paul had a lot of baggage in his life. He had a lot of black clouds in his life. I mean, he actually murdered people, so he had that on his conscience. And so, but yet, when he was saying, when I gave my heart to God, I knew in my heart I was called for a purpose. So I had to get my head right. I had to get my mind right. And what everybody was saying about me, you know, we've studied that some in our Ephesians study and Bible study, that they were all destroying his, you know, who he was. But he said, it doesn't matter what the outside says, I know in my heart what I am. And I know that I've been gifted to do this because God called me so, but what he had to do is transform that mind. Now, we understand that scripture. We've heard it all our life. So let's go to the prodigal son. And when I begin to read the prodigal son, I'm guilty sometimes of just reading stuff like I've always read it, and then the Lord will correct me on it, so go back and read it again. And so I begin to read this story again and begin to see something deeper than what I had seen before, because I want to talk about when things happen in your life, when things begin to change, at what point. So the story of the prodigal son said there was a man, I'm in chapter 15, verse 11. And Jesus, of course, here is speaking about parables, but he's saying here, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. All right, I want you to see the tone here. You got two sons. One's looking around and he says, I want what's mine. And so the father divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger gathered all he had, took journey into the far country, and there squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, that's going to mean something in just a minute. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out of the one of the citizens of the country and sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Okay? But here's the next two verses. But when he came to himself, we can accomplish anything that God puts before us when you come to yourself. When you begin to analyze and realize, so when he came to himself, what did he begin to think? How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I'm hungry. Next verse says, I will arise and go to my father's house. That's not the decision making there. The decision was made prior to that when he came to himself. So just a few minutes this morning, I just want to begin this series here and just talk about a little bit when things begin to change, because every one of us are faced with change. Every one of us are faced with things that we need to change. I'm believing God for change in my life. I'm believing God for change in Northview. I'm believing God to put us in the center of His will and accomplish everything He has for us. But in order for that to happen, guess what? I've got to have my mind right. Because I've got to understand there's going to come a time that all this is going to come against me. So the prodigal son here, when he began to change, was when he changed his mind. Do you see the attitude here? When he first started, I want what's mine. Father, I want what's mine. Now his father had worked and labored for it, and he just was receiving it, but he said, you know, it's mine, it belongs to me, I want. Do you see that attitude there? How many times do we get messed up with the plan of God in our lives because we get ourselves in the way? And let's be honest now, every one of us have a self to deal with, right? Every one of us have a self button that if we're not careful, that thing will try to go off and say, you know, well, what about me? What about me? What about me? And every one of us deal with self. So now I'm learning as I grow in God how important it is to transform my mind, because there's a force coming against me that says, well, you deserve it. You deserve it. You see, the enemy will always agree with you when he knows that it's going to pull you away from what he wants for you. You see, one of our biggest issues is time. One of our biggest issues is resource. One of our biggest issues is talent and all these things. And we make a good case before God, just like Moses did. Well, Lord, I certainly can't do what you're asking me to do. And really what he was saying there is that I really don't want to do what you're asking me to do, because I don't really think I can do that. How many of you know God never calls us to do things we can't do? When God calls you to do something, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to think you're going to do it. You know, I love to read about leadership, and I love to read about great men. And you know what? This has come out in all the books and stuff that I have read. It always comes to the top that great men don't know they're great. And great leaders don't know they're great leaders. They just do what they do. And every one of you have got some do in you. You like that? Every one of you have got some do in you, because every one of you can do, even though you don't think you can do, you can do, because God put it in you to do. I can't say that again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But real change, is what I'm trying to say, is already in you. Real change is already in you. You see, it's the core, it's the heart. You take a beautiful fruit like an apple, and you begin to peel. Some people peel that skin. Well, the skin, even though when we look at that skin appears, that's the apple. But that's not the apple. The meat inside to the core is what the real apple is. The skin is just an external thing. And how many times do we go through situations in life and we get peeled? We get peeled. And our layer gets cut off of us. And a layer gets, this situation didn't go right, there's a peeling. This situation didn't go right, there's a peeling. And we feel like, well, I am not what I can be, or I'm not anything, or I'm not this or that because we've been through appealing. But understand, the external is not what it's all about. It's the inside. Amen? It's inside. The passion and the power is inside of you. You know what God told Adam? He says, Adam, you be fruitful. That didn't just mean have children, but he said everywhere. And said, I tell you what I'm going to do, Adam. I'm going to let you begin to name the animals and name the fish and all these things. Have you ever stopped about and thought about that? How did he know that a bass was a bass? How did he know? I mean, because it was in him. And God, when he created him with a source inside of him that would minister to the needs of his life. Every one of you have been created. And you know what we want to call it? Write this word down, instinct. Instinct. Have you ever had an instinct to do what you know you're not to do? You had the instinct, but your mind talked you out of it. And when your mind, I remember I used to sit in class and the teacher would have a question. And I'd sit there and I wouldn't know that question, but I, because of fear and intimidation, I wouldn't say nothing. And she'd ask, well, don't anybody know the answer? And I'm sitting back there like, you know, I don't know nothing. And knowing the whole time, you know what, that was fear and intimidation. But the answer was already in me. See, you're already successful. You just don't know it. You're already accomplished. You just don't know it. And when I think about the great things that Northview Church has battled and come through, and you guys always stand on your feet when the dust is settled, that is awesome. Amen? God knew what we were going to face these last few weeks, and he has given every one of us the strength to go through it. And we're here on the other side now, and we're standing on our feet, and we're moving forward. Amen? We're moving forward because God doesn't make mistakes, and when he chose you, he didn't make a mistake. You are not a mistake. Now, just for the next couple minutes, there's a seed inside of you, and that seed is instinct. And that seed, just like he told Adam, Adam, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to articulate. And so he began to say, well, that's a bear, and that's this, and that's that, and that's just tremendous how he did all that. And when God made him like that, he made you like that. And a couple things I want to share with you, and then I'm going to get out of your way this morning. First of all, the mind determines the destiny of life, and that is so true. If you don't believe that you can do something, nobody in the world can make you do it. Amen? It's like this story I heard about this father was trying to get his son to sit down. And he told him, they were in church, he said, sit down. And he didn't want to stand. He didn't want to sit down. He stood. He said, you sit down. If you don't sit down, I'm going to take you out and spank you. So said he didn't sit down. I know y'all ain't got no children like that, but we're just talking about other people. And so finally took his child up. They were walking out the door, and the little boy turned around and hollered at him, boy, y'all pray. Said, y'all pray, because he may make me sit down, but I'm still standing on the inside. I thought that's a pretty smart little boy there. You know, that's how we are sometimes, you know. Well, you can lose weight, or you can do this, or you can do that. And in your mind, you already said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And you know what? If you don't want it, it'll never happen. And I begin to think about this. This thought came to you. It had to be God, because I just never thought about this before. But when babies are born, what are they born with? They're born head first. And if they're breached, then there's problems, right? Some of you mamas really know about that. So it's the natural way is for that head to come first. And you know what? The mind determines what we're going to be. As we begin to talk about growing this church, as we begin to talk about, and I'm not looking for numbers or anything, I'm just talking about, I want everything God's got for me. If God's got us at 50 people, then I'm happy with that. Amen? If that's what God's got. If God's got us at 500 people, then I'm happy with that. It doesn't matter about the number. See, God is not interested in the number. He's interested in the attitude of our heart. If we believe... that's good right there. He just said what y'all were thinking. I know. Amen. Let me finish this and then we're all going to go. That's good, I tell you. The mind determines the destiny of life. You got to get this. Habits start. They're broken. That's just good right there. Habits start or broken by our mind, right? Have you ever decided that I'm going to start walking? Or I'm going to start doing something. And you make that mind up. How many times does everything come against you? Starts raining. Starts snowing, sleeting. If you're in North Carolina, can do all that in the same day. And, you know, and you say, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. You want to know why? Because your mind wasn't made up. What drives you and what motivates you is how you see yourself. How do you see yourself this morning? And I'm asking you to stand to your feet. I want to leave you with that thought. And next week we're going to talk about urges. But our mind determines the destiny of life. And I want to ask yourself a question. What are you focusing on right now? What's the main focus of your life right now? You know, when I come up into church, everything was focused on the wrong stuff. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Anybody identify with that? Yeah. Nobody ever told me about the good stuff. And you know, when you get involved in the good stuff, you don't want to do the bad stuff. Right? So, it's all about focus. And I just go back to Jesus as he was sitting there and everybody was against him and his flesh began to come out a little bit and he said, Father, is there another way? Is there some other means that we can do this? But he said, my mind's made up and I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to come down. And I appreciate one of the brothers, I can't remember who it was up here not too long ago, was talking about all the angels that they could have called and he could have come down. But his mind was made up. I want you to leave today with your mind made up that I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. And all those voices that we all hear every day, we're going to start dealing with them. Because you're beautiful in God. You're beautiful inside and out. And God don't make junk. Amen? You are valuable in the kingdom of God. And you can be anything he wants you to be. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. And God, our minds are made up. Because I know there's a lot of circumstances that try to come and take our joy, try to take our place, try to take our position. They just try to, because there's an enemy out there who steals, kills, and tries to destroy. But God, we are victor people. We are more than overcomers. And whatever we're dealing with, if it's fatigue, if it's physical pain, if it's anguish, if it's a job, if it's finances, whatever it is, we believe, God, that you're going to give us wisdom to know how to deal with it. Father, we love you and we praise you for Northview Baptist Church, for what you are doing in this place. And thank you, God, for this haven of rest that we all have, we can come to and find peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone.